You want to hear a joke?
Yes, I would.
Please.
All right. Did you have a date for Valentine's Day this year, Tim?
No, I didn't.
No, I did. February 24th. I fucked up.
He's got the date wrong too.
That's embarrassing.
All right.
Hi, this is Tim. This is just a heads up that all the advice you're hearing in this podcast is general in nature. If you want something more specific, then feel free to contact us.
Drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Dan.
And I'm Tim, and we're here with Jay Merrilies, the founder of Bulletproof Leader, serial guest on our podcast. Jay, yeah. Thanks for being here.
I thought you were going to say something else after serial.
Serial killer. It turns out, Jay, that around this time of the year, we need a little bit of help with our motivation. And
I didn't realize this until this morning. Yes.
And so 5th of February 2021, you come on the podcast to talk about health and business. Yep. 17th of February 2022, you come on the podcast and we talk about goal setting. Mm. And what's the date today? 17th of February 2023. You're back.
We literally arranged this last night, by the way.
Like literally about 10 hours ago. Yeah. So, and I didn't realize that. I honestly didn't realize that. Until you said that to
me. Good. It's weird. It's like we're in a circadian rhythm of podcasting.
Must be, mate.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward for you to come on next year in February. That's going to be good. Like it is Love February. It's Love Your Business February. Mm. Last week, we spoke about if love was your business and you filmed it. And the week before, we spoke about love and valuing your business. And this week, we're talking about loving yourself because it's important.
In the metaphorical sense, not the physical.
No, that was last week's episode of the podcast. This week, it's all about being kind to yourself, loving yourself, because as we've explored in the past, there is a link between your health and what you're doing with your health and broader scope of that and how well your business does. So we want to explore that a little bit further in today's episode with you, Jay.
Yep.
But first, Tim, what is the Tim and Dan Low?
This is the only reason I come on this podcast, just to get...
I like how you realized what was happening and then you laughed. Second
Tim, how's your week?
Look, it's been a hectic week, I've got to say. Jay will know, I haven't been to many training sessions this week. But yeah, look, we're getting through. I had a good coffee with Jay yesterday, actually.
Yep.
And we just talked about, you're going to have bad weeks and good weeks, particularly when you have a three-month-old son. So,
I think every parent out there will tell you exactly the same. And
that's it.
Ride the highs and just sort of cruise through the low if you can. It. And, you know, keep a steady base, really.
Yeah. So this topic is a pretty timely.
Yeah.
So it's time for me to love myself.
Yeah.
So,
if you if you looked in my rubbish bin right now, you'd see I've had a pretty debaucherous week.
I can totally relate. Yes, I've been eating whatever I want this week. It's been good.
There is a link, and this is going to sound very boring going into it, but there is a link between tiredness and calorie uptake. Yes. So your body will automatically take on 500 calories plus that day in order to try and compensate for the lack of recovery and time that you've had through the sleep.
Hectic.
And also it's been proven that your choices will be a lot worse. You'll normally go for the high calorie, low nutrient sort of graded sort of food, you know, just to get that in as quick as you can. So
that's been exactly what's happening.
Yep.
And that's all right. Hey, I'm embracing it this week and just gonna
be kind.
I feel like I'm coming out the other side of that. So it's good.
Nice.
Yeah. But you guys have been getting some nice messages and emails at 4 a.m. so that's good.
That's been good. I went to Love Lanes in Wyong on the weekend.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, it was actually like really good.
Excellent.
We have a business in Wyong and Love Lanes has been on for like 6 years and I've never been, and I was like, you know what, I should probably be part of the community that I have a business in. So I went and I just checked it out. There's some really good bands playing, lots of food, It's just nice. Like, cool. It's pretty good.
I seen all the, when I was driving back the other day, I seen all the flags up down the main road. And I thought to myself then, got to take the kids. And then obviously completely forgot about it.
It would have been great if you had young kids. It was like circus performers everywhere and like a rock climbing wall. And it's all this cool stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Next year, I was going to say. Yeah.
Mm. Although the Long Jetty Street Festival is on in a couple of weeks.
Mm. Oh, I'm super keen for that. Okay. Some really good bands playing too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll do that then. Definitely. Mm.
Yeah, and it's free too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So was that just the same thing? They'll just have it up and down the streets or the waterfront?
So you know where like the main cafe sort of hub is there?
It'll
just be between there and on Thompson Street, I think, down to the lakefront.
Oh,
there.
Nice.
And then they'll probably have a bunch of like market stalls along the lake.
Yeah, in that little section too. Probably a good place to do it as well, actually. Yeah. Down on that waterfront where that grass verge is, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
There's a few stuff going on.
Come on, you get useful information, you get the events that are coming up.
Yeah. You know. Well, next year you'll come on early Feb and we'll tell you about Love Lanes the week before because that's we're in rhythm.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
What have you been up to, Jay?
Oh, quite a lot, actually. There's been quite a lot moving on. My mum and dad have just come over for a holiday. They're over here for a little while, which is great. Alex, my eldest daughter, who's 12, just joined the rural fire service
last
night. Yeah, doing a new junior intake, which they haven't done for a number of years,
That's cool.
We went to an information night last night and met a lot of the guys that were there, a lot of the guys that are in the service. They talked through about what the juniors do and absolutely fantastic. The training that they offer them, you know, not only the actual skills and the training and everything that comes with it, but it's like the life skills, it's the interaction with the community, it's developing their own personal understanding, emotional intelligence, everything as well, you know. So
good.
I was really pleased. He said you're only taking a certain number of juniors on at the time. He said, look, you can apply here or you can go home and do it online. And I wasn't sure. And I spoke to her and she said, no, I want to do it. I want to do it now.
Yeah, nice.
So, that was last night.
That's awesome. That's so good. Yeah. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm a big fan of the fire people.
Yeah. Sounds like you don't know what they are. It sounds like you think they're a band or something.
Oh, they're not? Is that not what she's joining?
The fire people.
I'm talking about the people that start the fires, not the...
Yeah.
The fire bugs. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's great. Right, it's really good. Really good.
Very cool.
Nice. All right, let's move on to our business update this week. And, you know, the RBA governor's been getting a bit of a grilling.
Interest rates
have gone up again. He's pointed out that they're probably going to go up again a couple more times, but they've pulled him into Senate estimates and they've sat him down for all yesterday and all today and just grilling him on what they're doing, which is a bit of a farce, I think, because...
So do you think that's political?
I think it is.
Yeah.
But
they're trying to get support from the people.
Yeah.
They're trying to do something.
Mm. Yeah, and then they're talking about all the people who are struggling with their mortgages now, and his responses are, you know, sort of fair enough. He's like, well, inflation's going to be worse for those people, so we're trying to fix that. It was interesting. It was interesting.
On the same week, CBA have come out announcing record profits as well.
Yeah. It's bad time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, it's just...
The banks just never lose, do they?
Yeah. And that's the thing that most people think, and they've got an awful lot of justified prejudgments on it as well. And when the people are struggling and you get someone who comes out and says, well, actually... He might be struggling, but we've just made record profit. Yeah. Doesn't go down very well, doesn't you know?
He was on, some spokesman or somebody from CBA was on like an ABC breakfast show and I was driving to work and they were asking him, oh yeah, so what's driving this record profit? And he's talking about, oh, you know, we've had massive uptake of people getting new loans and we've had massive uptake of new customers and all these things. And you know, these other departments in our business are going really well. And they're like, yeah, but what portion of that is the gap between the interest that you've increased and the interest that you haven't increased for deposits? And they're like, it's significant. It couldn't even go around it. It's a lot.
I'm not going to give you a percentage, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
What is that gap at these days? So is
it- well, they've just announced an inquiry by one of the bodies because they think the speed in which they increase the rates for home loans is like that day. Mm. The speed in which they increase it for deposits is like a month or two later.
That's so shoddy. Yeah. Wow. I don't like that.
Wow. So they're like, all right, this needs to be investigated. Mm. Why they're doing that.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's funny because that is the way that they, you know, that we've set up this economy to curb inflation is mm-hmm. it's meant to get harder. Yeah. Because then we spend less and then the inflation comes down, right? Yeah. That's the whole point of it. So really by everyone complaining about how it's not, it's hurting is actually what it's trying to do.
It is.
And it's hard to justify to someone who can't afford their food because of the 100%. Increase in their rates. But at the same time, if you're not looking at the micro, but you're looking at the macro, it's doing the job. Yeah. It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I think it's come on the back of where people are less receptive to looking at a larger picture to a large degree because they've had to deal with the everyday over the last sort of 3 years of everything that's been going on, you know, COVID restrictions, war, you know, so on and so forth. So that capacity, I think, to be able to open up and look at it from a larger perspective is being vastly reduced. And of course, people are being pushed and pushed and pushed as well, even though I agree with exactly what you're saying. Mm. Yeah, so.
Some of the inflationary pressure has been from supply chain. Mm. And so just like slow shipping or shutdowns or lockdowns in China, as an example.
War in Ukraine.
I feel like that's a little unfair to really just ramp up interest rates in response to those things, which are temporary and out of the control of consumers anyway. Mm. Because if interest rates are a response to spending patterns, that's completely out the door with those. Mm. And even just look at flooding and the effect that's had on groceries too.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, it's kind of like a perfect storm.
It is.
Especially in this country, because we've got about, I mean, I know everything that's gone on, what we just said globally, but then add the fires before it.
Yeah, exactly.
The floods during it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, as well. You know.
Oh, it's been terrible. And then COVID. Yeah.
And I think I heard some stat where the second most indebted country in terms of like personal debt.
Mm. Okay. Who's first?
I don't know. But... but we're second. But
it's probably New Zealand.
And I think this calls back to the issue I'm always talking about because I have a vested interest in this exact point is that the house prices are too high. Oh. If we're all spending that much money as a proportion of our income to borrow, then of course a small change in interest rates back to what is historically the average is going to feel a lot worse because everyone's had to spend so much more money to buy a house in proportion to what their wages are.
Yep. There's no unwinding that now, though. It's just pain. That's the only way to unwind that.
Mm. Well, there's a few certain tax policies they could wind back.
But like you say, the cost of the cost of housing or house prices relative to income in the family, it's just disproportionate.
Exactly.
You know, it really is.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that you look around at now and you look at a base price to buy a decent house and a decent area, and you're like, whoa, okay. Yeah. You know, how are that next generation that are coming through that are trying to get on that market, how are they going to be able to do that as well? You know, because it's unachievable for a lot of them. You know?
And it's not just in our area. No, sometimes it's easy everywhere. To think, it's just our area that's gone up. Like people who live over there are pretty lucky. Mm. No, it is literally everywhere.
Yeah.
If you look all along the coastline, it's expensive everywhere.
Yep.
Unless you're buying an undesirable house in an undesirable location. That's really the only way you're going to save money. And people don't want to do that either. No. So it's tricky.
It is very tricky. Mm. And then if wages, you know, people are concerned that if wages go up too much, then that's going to push inflation up even more.
I know.
And
then,
so they're like, we don't want wages to go up that much for inflation purposes, but that's going
to
help.
It's what needs to happen for people to survive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, we should get an economist back on.
Which makes the point of whole self-love thing and taking care of yourself even more important.
Yes.
It really does.
I totally agree.
Because it's very easy to get into that negative downward
spiral.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of that as
And like really at the end of the day, you know, you go out. I went to the pub on Sunday night it was Jade and I, we went for a walk.
Yeah.
Like a 5K walk to get some steps up. We're like, we'll go to the pub for a beer at the end of it. just consume those calories in one beverage. Anyway, it was packed. The entrance pub. Full of people.
Yep.
And I rarely see it like that. And this was on a Saturday. This was on a Saturday afternoon.
Okay,
so you would expect it would be busy, but people are still going out, is my point.
They're still spending.
Even though the interest rates have gone up a lot.
So funny you say that, actually, because I met some old football teammates about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we ended up in the Hotel Gosford. You know, you've done it all up in there.
Yeah, that's good. Quite nice. Yeah.
We had a couple of beers at Bay Road, and then went there for a bit of a feed afterwards. It was rammed,
right? Yeah. So, and that'll DJ be the first thing people are going to cut, you know, if they're they're struggling, right?
Yeah, And it was rammed. You know, full of people. You know, and all different ages as well. Younger generation, older generation, and everywhere in between as well. You know, so still there. It's still there.
So maybe they do need to put interest rates on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And maybe it's just, is it just media hype people saying how much they're struggling, or are people actually struggling?
Yeah. And that was my point, I guess. Yeah. Like, we have all saved a lot of money in the last couple of years by not going out, not traveling. Mm. And I know we're probably eating away at that savings pretty quickly, but people should be in a pretty strong position, I would hope.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's where what you decide is important as well, and then where you actually filter that focus. You know, I hear we're talking about finance, but we'll come on to with yourself shortly. But what you decide is important, and where you decide you're actually allowing that flow to go does make that priority list in terms of where you're going with it.
And, absolutely,
you know, for some people, going out and having a drink and letting their hair down is
number one priority.
But yeah, I won't go too much into that.
We're going to dive into that soon. Yep. Well, I have one business update on a lighter side, actually.
Okay. Yep.
And it's from Anthony Campbell, who's a big fan of the show.
Yeah, shout out Anthony.
Yeah. Okay. And he had a suggestion that it was from the topic last week.
Yep.
And we were talking about
OnlyFans,
the adult industry, and that they can write off toys.
Adult toys. Way.
Adult toys. Yeah.
They can claim the trade.
It's a work related tool. And so
here you go.
Now, if you have a motor vehicle, to figure out the percentage of usage that you can write off, you use a logbook.
Yep.
Now, Anthony is suggesting that someone in the adult industry,
maybe you'd need to apportion for private usage.
Yeah. He's saying, well, you know, with the private, because there might be some private usage of those tools. Well,
do you need a logbook though?
He's saying, well, why don't they do a logbook? So there's the business update.
For a car, it's a logbook. For a toys, it's a logbook.
The ATO have just they've updated their website and I've checked. It's on there now. So for adult entertainment,
I saw
toys,
that email when I was in the gym and I literally laughed out loud. People looking at me like I'm weird, just laughing at this email.
Logbook. Anthony's also suggested to me in the past that golf's boring because he likes running. I talk about golf a lot on the podcast. So Anthony, I think we should combine running and golf as well, just so you know.
Sprint golf.
Mm. Yeah, there is a guy who set a world record for completing a golf round in the fastest time possible and the lowest score. So there's a real skill for it.
So he was good at running and golf and put it together at the same time.
I think you did it in like an hour and a half. Unreal. Yeah. So Anthony, I'm challenging you to a round of running golf.
Is a good idea. Yeah, I like that.
It's cool, hey?
That might not be our next biannual golf day. It might be a sprint golf.
The scores will be terrible, but that's all right. It'll be like hockey.
All right. Well, tight ass tip?
Yes, tight ass tip. Okay. Well, I was going to use this one a few weeks ago, and it's about grocery shopping again.
This is the second week in a row about grocery shopping.
I know. Well, it's a theme.
You were very upset last week.
Yeah. So do you do any online shopping, Jay?
Or? No, not really. No, at the shop.
I've been doing a lot of it recently because of the baby. It's just easy to click and collect or online order it. But they screw me every time. they always leave something out. So there's the tip. If you're online shopping with Coles or Woolies or someone else, you have to do an inventory of what you ordered versus what you receive. The amount of times I have found items that they haven't given me is crazy.
But you get like a pick slip. They don't. Tells you.
They don't. Not at my Coles. They don't give me a pick slip. When was the last time you did? Which Coles do you go to? Bateau Bay.
That's the one I used to go to and they'd give me a pick
slip.
They
used to give me it too.
Yeah.
But I think it's now available online.
Oh, that's BS.
Yeah. So you actually have to make an effort to go back into the app and check what you ordered.
Which you aren't going to do.
You're not going to do. It's only later that week when you're like, hold on a second. I thought I ordered some passion fruit pulp. You know those obscure items? You're not going to remember not getting that.
I mean, you
got to
find, like, my Tim Tams aren't in here. I know that straight away.
Yeah.
But my passion pop, that's a week.
Yeah. Look, you have to do an inventory.
I've found three lemons.
I've found at least $15 worth of items that I've been undercut. Mm. And was it worth an hour on the phone to Coles to get that money back? No, but that's all right. The principle is I got my $15 back.
Right. Yeah. But a lot of people said that with the online order stuff that you can get random stuff, and then if they haven't got something, they'll sub it in, and often what they sub in is nothing like what you were originally ordering in the first place.
I ordered dill and I got mint. They subbed it for mint. They thought that was a substitute. That is not like for like. That is not like for like. And I took it back to the store and the guy was like, oh yeah, oh, sometimes they get a bit lazy when they're packing, so maybe they just grabbed the wrong thing. And I was like, really? That's fantastic.
I've had to come all the way down here.
And then I couldn't even get the refund at the store. Mm. Yeah, so anyway.
One of the reasons I like coming on this podcast is you never know what way the conversation is going to go. We've gone from toys to online ordering to mint.
Honestly where our minds are at, Jay. They're just... like that. You drew some scribbles for me yesterday.
That's what your kids will do for you, mate. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our main topic, shall we?
Yeah, loving yourself.
So, yeah, we wanted to talk about this because it is Love February and we've spoken about loving your business. And a big part of that is loving yourself and ensuring that you're doing okay. Mm. And so, Jay, you're the expert in loving yourself. And
thanks, Dan. Thanks for that setup.
So how do we go about this? Where should we start?
Well, Daniel, where can we start?
The vlogbook. Keep a vlogbook.
You're right though, because it is like, I mean, in all seriousness, looking at the whole theme of it, we've talked about health and business, and we've talked about a lot of different subjects around you, and I think it's becoming more and more evident the link between you and how you're operating at work or in your business or whatever it is, and a home as well, which is crucial. Mm. And traditional thinking has always been that these two things can be separated, but the reality is it can't, right? Because whatever is going on, you're bringing that with you, because you're bringing you with you wherever you go, and you can't escape yourself. Now,
I really like that. You're bringing you with you.
I like that.
You wherever you go, you know. I learned that when I moved from the UK to Australia, and after being here for 6 months, I was like, you're still there. You're still in the mirror. But it's true. Like, people can be good. They can be good at sort of... sort of compartmentalizing. They can be good at that, but you've got to realize at some stage that those compartments are going to break down just because of the wear and tear over a period of time. So it's more about looking about how you can really take care of you, right? Yeah. Because that is the crux of what we were called, under self-love. Mm. And there's very good neural, chemical, and emotional, physical, mental reasons for that, and how that can impact your health in a positive way or a negative way. Therefore, how productive that you can be in the workplace, how productive you can be in terms of return on investment, how injury is reduced, how workover claims are less, yada, 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 right?
Yes.
So, it's just fusing the two.
There's so many correlations and positive things beyond just how you feel that are going to come from... loving yourself.
And honestly, just what you said then about you bring you, you think if you've got a piece of machinery at work and you don't take care of it, and you don't look after it, it's not going to perform optimally.
Yeah.
You're not going to have the output that you're after.
Yep.
You and your team are those machines. And so if you're not putting the right fuel into it, if you're not making sure that it's getting maintenance every now and then, if you're not looking after it, it's going to be no good.
I was just thinking about last week's episode again and the tools, maintaining the tools. Sorry. My mind keeps going back.
Your mind goes to...
sorry. But yes, you're right, Dan. Yes. You're 100% right.
You're right. I was saying to Tim yesterday, I've been... doing some high performance coaching now for the last 18 months, and we've been doing it in the corporate environment. So I'm mainly dealing with directors, operational managers, you know, financial control officers and stuff like that. And we all, from that level down to factory floor, down to assembly, down to fabrication, down to, you know, the man and woman on the street, the problems are the same.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that the problems are different. The problems are the same. They're presenting in different ways, but the problems are the same. Now, what I've found is, and this is through extensive testing, measuring, you know, over a long period of time, not just in the last 18 months, but really in the last 20, 25 years, is that the better you can take care of yourself, and I keep saying take care of yourself because sometimes people have a prejudice around self-love, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you get a bit too sort of, you know, But if you can take good care of yourself and you can get a number of components, right, in place, right, simple components, then what you tend to find is people operate better, they think better, they make better choices. They're more open to opportunities. They will look at things in a much more positive way. They're more solution focused.
Yes.
And in that way can be a real asset, right?
Yeah.
So you were looking at, yes, you becoming an asset. You becoming an asset to yourself, but you also becoming an asset to your own business, or your staff becoming an asset to you. Because a lot of our time and a lot of our investment is spent in managing staff and spent in managing their output and their focus and their intention as well. So if we can start to invest in that approach, and then we be an example of that as well, and that's really important.
Yeah.
If you're running a business where you've got other staff there, then you need to be a working example of what you're then bringing forward as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that, because it might seem hard if you do have team members who are struggling to love themselves or to be positive or productive, or they're just in a bit of a rut. Pardon me. It might be hard to put the mask on, like the oxygen mask on yourself first, because you might just think, well, I need to just sweep all of my issues under the rug and dive on this and fix this, because who cares about what's going on with me right now? But is that potentially not a productive way to approach the issue?
It's sort of like fix this next, but fix you first.
Definitely. How can you expect others to be looking after themselves if they're not seeing you do that too?
You're spot on, especially from a leadership point of view and a communication point of view. If you think about it, really, 92% of your communication is through your action and your example, right?
Yeah.
The last 8% is through what you say.
True.
So, and you've been in rooms with people before as well. If they're bullshitting, you know what I mean? You're like, why should I listen to you? You know, but if they're a living example of it, and they've got that energy behind it, and that's really an emotion behind it. And that's what people pick up on.
Yeah.
Like we're having this conversation now, and if it was just like this, really sort of, you know, people would just not listen to it. But if the more energy and emotion that you can have in it, that's what people pick up at a very base level first. So,
You're right.
You can't fake that. You can't. It's impossible to do it. You have to be that first. And when you're in that space, then your ability to connect, then your ability to be able to be flexible in areas where you might need to be, your ability to be able to perceive and receive, to be compassionate to where people are, then creates a safe space. And once you create that safe space, then what will fill into that is normally ways that you can move forward, right?
Yeah.
But if it's a defended sort of space and you're discombobulated and you're all over the shop and you're highly under stress, you can't hide that, even if you're doing it passively aggressively. You can't hide it.
So people true. Know. So true.
You know.
Yes. It's like using a blunt tool to try and achieve. Where did your mind go, Dan?
We keep going backwards in circles, don't we, to tools for some reason?
No, but you need to, your mind, just using that analogy before, of your mind is a tool. You're going to achieve nothing in terms of helping your team to be in that positive space if you can't be in it yourself.
Yeah.
Because they will just see right through.
Misery loves company, that old saying. Like if you're sitting there being cranky and upset, the people around you are going to start being cranky and upset. If you walk
like
in
cascading
and you're positive, and it's not just like, you're not pretending, you actually feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, other people are going to be like, oh, I want to feel like that.
Yeah.
That's better than being miserable.
Yep. Yeah, and you know what it's like when you walk in a room, people resonate towards that. And it's like, I want to be here. I'm going to listen more.
Yeah.
I'm going to take more on board, you know, than I would do with someone who's coming in and dictating and not with that. They want to be around. They might start staying, you know, have a coffee afterwards. And all of a sudden these conversations start to open up.
Yeah.
So your example, your own application, your own focus can go such a long way to then being like 99% of the way. And the next sort of 1% then is just doing some practical things around it to be able to help people to be able to take self-ownership themselves.
Well, I'd like to dive into how then, if you're a leader listening to this, how you can look after yourself. What are some simple ways to pick yourself back up if your energy is low or, you know, you've had a bad week or whatever it may be. Yep. Because I guess you're never going to be perfect all the time.
No, right? You're not. And I think that's a very good point to make. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to do if we're talking about self-care. Our own biggest critic will be ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and that critical voice is just a thought pattern that's happened over a long period of time.
Head noise.
Yeah. Which has become a belief. And a belief is just a thought we keep on thinking over and over and over again. Right? So
head noise.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm in a chat with some runners and they talk about head noise.
Oh, your brain movies.
By the way though, when you're in that space, right? And when you're there, and it's normally when you talk about that point you get to on a run, you'll go from a point of being, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic. The endorphins are flowing. The oxygen's flowing through the brain. I'm feeling really good.
Yeah.
And you'll hit a wall. And then when you hit that wall, that's when that will come in. And it normally happens when you're stressed, you're tired, you haven't got the same energy, your vibrancy is low. And that's when it's like, I've got the opportunity to get in there. And if you don't know how to be able to handle that and able to bring yourself back on track and then just purely focus on where you are and what's the next step and the next step and the next step, it can become very overwhelming. And that's when you find people drop out.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like you've got to, for me, what I've sort of learned and put together is you have to have a framework, right? And I call the framework getting a head start. Right?
Yeah,
and
nice.
It all comes back to the head again. And if you can do this 90-odd% of the time, it will actually take care of itself. So you won't need many tools per se to bring yourself back into alignment again.
Cool.
So what became obvious over a long period of time, again, working with guys, you know, from lots of different industries, lots of different backgrounds, is there was a commonality. And I found that when guys were coming into a session, they were either in a, what we call like this sort of stressed, sort of crazy state, if you will. And when you draw on a piece of paper, it just looks like a black cloud.
Yes.
You know? It's just like weird all over the shop. And it's like a pinball just firing around. Mm. And you know what it's like. You can't think straight. You're overwhelmed. You're stressed. You are not making any good decisions from that space. Now, this is not to say that we don't need stress. Stress can be extremely effective for short periods of time.
Yep.
We all know when we've had those periods when we've had to focus, the adrenaline shoots up and you're hyper.
Yeah, there's good stress and bad stress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bad stress is really comes down to the amount of time that you're in that zone.
Yes.
So we know there's an optimal point, i.e. I want to be primarily focused when I'm about to do a 100 meter run, right? Yes. Or 100 meter sprint. I don't want to be like that all the time when I'm sitting on the couch watching Netflix, right? So, a lot of people are, you know, because their brain is still activating that same response over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So, it's how do we sort of get away from that or move from that place into a more sort of flow wave sort of state where you're going to make much better decisions.
I like that visualization of the squiggly, squirrely, you know, cluster.
Yep.
Into the wave, sort of the like just looking like across the ocean. Yep. You can see.
Yeah. And if you look at the brain waves when you're in those two states, you'll regularly see that sort of thing. And you know when someone's switching between one to the other because you'll see the change in the brain patterns and the brain waves that are there and the states that are there as well. But what I've found is after a period of time, it became quite obvious about where guys were. So we started to get into, or I started to get into self-identify. We're like, okay, where are you? We made it really, really simple so they could see it. We do one image of that, one image of the wave state, the flow state. Where are you right now? Be honest. Are you here? Are you here? You're somewhere in between. And most of the time, I'm like, no, I'm over here.
Mm.
And then we looked at, okay, so if stress is high, energy is low normally,
yes.
right? Unless yes. it's just for a very brief period. So that's why energy is low. You know, you make bad decisions. Your body actually starts to break down over a period of time. So it affects your immune health, it affects your gut health, it affects your neuromuscular response, it affects everything, right? Cortisol goes up and that starts to degrade tissues, everything, right? So this is where the diseased area will come from because there's no rest, there's no recovery, right? There's no digest really that's going on, which is all the things that we need in able to be perform optimally.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, then performance drops massively.
Yeah.
So people can identify it and they know when they get into that state. Generally, they know when they're there. So the first stage was just identifying when we were in that state. And then we started to go, okay, how do we move from there to where we want to go to? So it became really obvious. Guys, and if you want to interject, please do and ask questions.
But I'm enjoying this. I'm just taking it all in.
We came up with, I came up with a system which was getting a head start. So we looked at, the first thing was what we call the fundamentals, okay? And this was like what we would say the red zone.
Yeah.
It's when people are coming in, they're all over the shop, and they haven't got the basics in place. So the basics were movement, nutrients, and sleep.
Yeah, nice.
They're the things that really go out the window when we get stressed. I'm not saying you don't move when you're stressed, but you're not moving productively normally.
Yes.
Your likelihood of you putting good fuel into your system drops dramatically because you're in survival mode and you're just taking in what you can to get through the next little bit.
For sure.
And sleep is massively impacted.
So I feel like you're sleep, I'm food.
Yeah.
I know when you're stressed because you're up at 4 a.m. sending messages. I know when I'm stressed because there's a packet of Mustiques on the desk.
Sending me down to dress at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's where you go. The thing that we have to do is we have to keep it simple. So if we start coming in and going, okay, we're going to start changing all of these three things at once and this is what you need to do. Obviously, that stress state's going to kick off even more. It's meeting people where they're at. Like, let's start moving. Let's start moving in a positive way. So what do we mean by that? We mean by it doesn't have to be CrossFit and boxing and gym.
Yeah.
It can be walking the dog, going for a swim,
meeting
a friend, you know, going on a bike ride, taking the kids out. It can be whatever it wants, right? Yeah. It's just move each day. It can be doing a stretch session. If we can do Pilates, yoga, whatever it is, move. Each day, you are designed to move. The more that you move, the better you are. That's not a mistake.
Yep.
When we move more, dopamine, oxytocin, endorphins, serotonin are all released in the system, which are positive hormones that allow you to increase your scope, open all these prefrontal cortexes in your brain. Your heart actually comes into coherence with your brain. And when that starts to happen, everything lights up.
Yeah, nice.
When we get into a stress state, the heart closes down. It goes out of coherence with the brain, which causes all that sort of shooting off all over the place. And that's when you start to get a lot of those problems. So we start going and say, right, move. Okay, you want to improve the diet. You want to get better nutrients. Pick two things. Pick two things that you know that you can get rid of that aren't your favorites.
Yeah, cool.
So don't take Oreos out.
They're all my favorites.
We've got to choose a couple down. We've got to go one of them.
I'll get rid of the digestives.
That's a start.
Chocolate coated digestives.
That's a start. But that's what I mean. I used to have guys coming in going, I want to pack in smoking. I want to go to the gym 6 times a week. I'm going to change my diet. And you used to go, whoa, no. Yeah. You can't do it that way.
Yes.
Because there's going to be too much going on at once. We've now got to be able to change a couple of things, get you down pat with that, get you feeling some positive benefits. Now, that's the big key. If you can start to feel some positive benefit and you can start to get some evidence in reality, you'll be much more likely to go, okay.
That's absolutely. That so leading up to Christmas, I was on like a really good run of like a lot of exercise, eating really well, moving every day, doing all that. I was like, things are going well in that department right now. And you could finally start to feel the difference. Like, I felt a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yep.
I could see that, you know, all the weights I've been doing with Orford Men on the street had changed me a little bit.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I'm And that perpetuated it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then Christmas and New Year happened.
Yeah.
And then January.
And now it's the 17th of February.
And now I've got the opposite. And now I go to the gym or I try and eat a little bit better, but nothing really happens yet. And I'm just sort of like, ugh, what's the point? Give me Oreos.
You're right, though. You build up that positive momentum. And then you don't need to be motivated because the momentum starts to take over itself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's just those early stages on getting it off the ground.
Yeah.
What we found is the less you stop, the better it is. Mm. Right? So the more that you stop for the longer period, you remember what it took to get to where you were before.
Mm. Yes.
And then you'll amplify that out ahead of you and go, okay, so I need to do you know, 2-3 months of this again to get back to where I was before. And we want instant results. We want to put the corn in the ground and we want the whole thing grown right away.
Yes.
You know, what I found is it was sort of like the positive result at some point started to demotivate me because I was like, if before now I'd eat, I don't know, something bad. Let's just say I just destroy a pack of Tim Tams, right? And I feel bad about that. And then the next day I'm like, oh, I feel like all bloated and just kind of like not great. I don't feel good today. But what I found happening when I was exercising and eating really well, if I had a night where I blew out and ate a packet of Tim Tams, I felt fine.
I
was like, oh, it doesn't impact me the way it used to because I'm doing all these good things as well. And then, but it's like, as long as I don't do it that often, I'll be fine. And then it just starts creeping into the habit again. And before you know it, you're like, I'm just doing this all the time now. Yeah. And now I feel like shit again.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like the positive return, the lack of a negative problem started to reinforce the bad behavior again for me.
Yeah.
And I realized that. I'm like, I see what happened.
I think you've got it. Like, this is the whole idea is that words can't teach you again. You know, you think you've got to go through your own experiences and get to know yourself and the justifications that you make and the things that you say. And by the way, we all do it.
Yeah.
We all do it with different things and to lesser or larger degrees, but it's acknowledging what's happening for yourself, personal awareness, and then seeing why that we do that as well, which could be a completely other separate podcast altogether.
Yes,
you know, why that we do these things in particular too. A lot of the time we'll find guys that they make a certain amount of progress and due to unconscious belief patterns and thought patterns about, you know, exposure, with what this is going to lead to, it's things that they're not even really aware that they're actually thinking or believe start to come into play, and all of a sudden you start to reach for the old habits, which is why they came into place to a certain degree in the first place, because that inability to emotionally regulate ourselves, right?
That's so me.
So that would be, for example, so that would be nutrition. You'd work on a couple of things with nutrition. The other thing is sleep, right?
Yeah, this is massive, right?
It's huge, right? And the evidence for it is overwhelming.
It's going to help with the moving and the eating if you get the sleep right.
So, absolutely, And how that flows back in again as well. Like those three working together makes such a strong sort of triangle or pyramid shape that it's so strong. So sleep-wise, a lot of the guys were saying to them, don't worry about the amount of hours that you get, right? If you Google it now, you'll see 7 to 9 hours. Most, I don't know about you, but most of the guys I work with don't get 7 to 9 hours sleep a night, right? They're doing good if they get 6, okay?
Yeah.
So we had to talk about on the way in, what they do on the way into sleep, and then what they do on the way out of sleep. Because both of those things, number one, on the way in, so pre-sleep is going to dictate the quality of the sleep normally that they have by dictating what the brainwave pattern's like going into sleep. Whatever brainwave pattern you take into sleep, you bring out the other end, right?
Yeah, so, which is fascinating, actually.
Yeah, it really is. That's why guys will wake up and go, I've had 9 hours sleep and I feel exhausted.
Yeah.
As if I haven't had any sleep at all. What's going on?
Yep. Amen to that. I feel that all the time.
Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah. Well, post sleep routine is really about how do we then set up the day. So how are we going to set up the day so we're going in the right direction? Because most of the guys wake up, switch the alarm off, pick the phone up, scroll, look at different things, and it's the equivalent of literally having a marching band in your living room your bedroom for your brain, right? Because it's all of a sudden it's going bang, 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 flashing lights, images, videos, music, everything, right?
Yeah.
It wants to wake up slowly, and it wants, so the fertilizer or the fuel that you put in at the start of that day dictates massively how the rest of the day is going to go, because you're already setting up what you're focusing on. There's a hair net sort of neurons on top of the brain called the reticular activity system, or the RAS, right?
Okay.
And what you start to focus on, that will start to tune and start to focus on. It's like you see, if you see a red Hyundai, right?
Yeah,
and you go, well, I haven't seen a red Hyundai before. Yeah. You've got to see five of them that day, right?
Yes.
Because your brain switched onto it. It's looking for them and it's bringing them there, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. If you prime that sort of RAS in the morning and you start to fill it with positivity and you start to fill it with what that day is going to unfold like, not necessarily in terms of the actual events, but then how you're going to conduct yourself in that day, it's massively powerful.
Yeah.
So if we get those three things in place first, we look at movement, we look at nutrients, and we look at sleep, then it forms this sort of strong sort of triangle, right?
Yeah.
So then you're much more likely to be able to take on other things. You're much more likely to be able to focus in a positive way, to be more productive, to have open centers in the brain that can produce higher thoughts rather than just survival thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's that with, that's where you really get the big openings. That's where the opportunities come along. That's where you're having these purposeful conversations. Mm. That's when the thing starts rolling.
Mm.
And then your brain and you start to go, ooh, there's substance to this.
Yeah.
There's actual weight to this. Actually, in reality, things are starting to sort of move forward.
Mm.
And certain serendipitous things start to sort of come in and flow in, such as, I had no idea that it's a year today since I was on here.
Yeah, true.
Tim messages me last night and then I'm here in the morning. You know, it's these
weird
things start start to happen. Like,
yeah.
So once we get that in place, what we then look at, so that's the fundamentals. What we'd look at around that is what we call the, or I call the elementals, right? So this is like a square that sort of sits around that triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And in that we have breathing, breath work, right? We have cold exposure, some cold exposure, light exposure, and grounding or nature exposure.
So I love all of this because I'm currently been doing all of it.
Excellent. No, you do grounding.
Excellent.
Grounding in like nature?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I go for walks.
Barefoot?
Yes. I go down to the beach in the morning without shoes and walk on the sand.
Nice.
Brilliant. I do it on purpose.
Brilliant. That seems good.
And I've been doing cold showers after a hot shower, though. I like to get the hot and then go cold.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the most shock then.
I've been quite enjoying that.
And I do 10 minutes of breathing, meditation, mindfulness every morning.
Well,
But I've been eating like shit.
Well, I mean, hey, you got the elementals, right?
I started on the outside. I should be working on the inside first.
But obviously, the point with... And that's fantastic because this is not, I know you see a lot with cold exposure now and you see a lot with breath work and stuff like that, but there's actually a barrel load of evidence behind it, you know, in terms of what that does internally and what it switches on in the genes and what it switches off in the genes, which is even most important.
Yeah.
A lot of those mutations are less likely to happen, and a lot of the upregulation of the genes it will start to be triggered as well. So we understand now how environment in particular, it's a topic called epigenetics. You've probably heard of it or seen it, but it basically means control above the genes. And where we used to think the genes were the primary thing, we now understand that the environment of how it triggers the genes is actually the primary thing. So the more that you can stimulate your environment with your thoughts, with your emotions, with your actions, directly dictates the life experience that you're going to have.
Crazy.
But it's...
That's your mind controlling physical outcomes, basically.
When you start doing these things, you do just feel it. On the days that... I'm saying I do those things. I try and do it every day, but you fall out of habit sometimes. But on the days that I get up and I walk down to the beach and I sit down and I watch the sun rising for a while and then I go in the sand and just squish my feet around. I didn't know that was a thing, but I just do it because I like it and it feels nice.
I
feel good about it.
Yeah.
And then you come home and the rest of the day sort of just goes from there.
But you see, that's the key. The feeling good. And I know this sounds oversimplified, right? Mm. But the feeling good is a direct signal that things are working right within your whole system.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the direct feeling bad. Or feeling constantly stressed, right? I'm not being unrealistic. I know there's going to be stress points, and we do need that, right? I'm not being unrealistic. But constantly in that state, and consistently having that low grade, one of the psychologists that I spoke to a few weeks back, he said to me, it's the death by a thousand cuts, mate. Mm. Like it won't be the direct wound, but it will just these constant cuts that are coming over and over and over again that will just deplete you.
And I remember, and the whole reason I do the morning mindfulness breathing stuff it's because I remember people telling me before and reading about it before, it's that if you're doing it over a certain period of time, it actually rewires your brain in the way that you respond to the stress.
Oh, true. Absolutely.
So it's like, it's not, you don't not get stress, but it's just your response to it is different. So you don't get as much as the physical response of like the bad stuff that's going to happen. It's like you just identify it and you can approach it in a way that's much more healthy than otherwise.
Yep.
Which is why I try and do that, because I'm trying to retrain my brain to not like reach for food when I'm stressed.
You're spot on. You really are. And the cell remembers, the cells remember that response as well. So the more that we have that response, the more unconscious it becomes. So you can walk into a situation, and it might be afterwards you'll go, oh shit, well, I didn't react the way I normally would. I'm really quite proud of the way I handled that. And I approached it in a completely different way, and I managed to pull myself back from it. And actually, it was far more productive that I just didn't dive into that and respond to it. Because when people normally dive in, they ramp up that sort of stress response, and then they have habits to emotionally regulate or control that. So they'll go for food, or they'll go for alcohol, or they'll go for, you know, whatever it is, in order to be able to sort of, in some way, push that down and not feel what's coming up. But if you can almost sort of pull yourself back from that, so number one, you probably pull yourself back from it and you don't respond in the same way. Mm. And then after a while, that becomes unconscious. But even when that sort of those emotions come up, if you consistently pull yourself back, then they release from the whole system. Right?
Yeah.
And they want to. Like they're meant to in a healthy system.
Almost like you forget how to do it.
Well, it is. Well, we do it with the kids. Like, you know,
exactly,
I want something. I don't get it. I cry. It's all over. You know what I mean? And it's just a very primal way of releasing emotion.
Yeah.
But over a period of time, and normally through our, you know, community, society, you know, home and so on, we learn that that's conditional. But we don't respond in a certain way, because normally, we'll be, going back full circle, we'll be removed from love, right? If we respond this way, the love is conditional. I have to act in a certain way or I don't receive it.
Yes.
So we learn how to behave in order to be able to receive it. So a lot of these are imprinted from a very early age, you know. And look, this is not all being about really complicating how to do that. And I'm not saying we need to go back over everything, you know. But what we're saying is, if we establish a healthy foundation and we establish these fundamentals and elementals, as we call them, obviously, because it's talking about breath, water, light, and sort of and earth, really.
Wind.
But if you can throw them around, and look, again, I said to Tim yesterday, this is not reinventing the wheel. Like, these things have been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's just putting them together in a way that people can manage and do.
I think that's the best thing about all of this. So if you are in a bit of a rut, or you're a bit stuck in the mud, it's not actually as complicated as it seems to do some self-care. It can be as simple as sitting down for 5 minutes and breathing.
Yeah.
What Dan just said then, go for a walk on the beach.
Right.
You know, you're going to get light, you're going to get breath, you're going to get grounding, you're going to get movement.
Dive in the ocean, you might even get some cold.
You can do it all at once.
That's it.
You know, and there's plenty of ways that we can amalgamate these things and integrate them together. So it's not like, okay, I've got to do everything all at once.
If we're doing, say, the fundamentals, you're choosing two things to get rid of, or two habits to choose and add to your routine, is it the same with the elementals? You just sort of like keep expanding it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, once we get those fundamentals down pat, and you're feeling that positive flow and you're feeling the benefit in your life and you're starting to master that, you're already going to be in a much more receptive place to go, okay, well, what is next? I want more of this because I'm feeling better and I'm feeling good and I'm seeing the results.
True.
So normally, in all honesty, I go to breath work first, because breath, that attachment and investment in the breath actually draws us more out of those sort of personal mind sort of settings.
Yeah.
It takes us to a different layer of consciousness, if you will, like subconscious level. And when we get that, we get a definite separation and we start to understand, hang on, these are just things, thoughts that are happening. They're not me.
Yeah.
It's just conditioning. It's just programming. It's just subconscious sort of patterns that are running, that I'm running over and over again. So you start to separate out and make the gap between who I think that I am and who I actually am. And that's immensely powerful.
Yes.
You know, when you spend some time in that, you do 10, 15 minutes a day, for 30 days, you're going to see a powerful difference.
That's cool.
You know?
I like it.
And then if you start doing a little bit of cold exposure, and by the way, as you well know, mate, you got to breathe a lot
when you get into cold water.
True. And you've got that gasp reflex as well.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. But what I've found in particular is, when you start to combine it with the breath work, and so you can quickly start to self-regulate yourself again. So it's like, look, I can be in certain situations which are stressful and acute, but I can calmly control myself in those situations, right? And that's really what the cold war. There's a lot of physiological benefits like anti-inflammatory, circulatory system, immune system.
Immune system, I've heard a lot.
Immune system, definitely. But the extra benefit of that is being able to tolerate stressful situations and be resilient within them as well. So it's very, very powerful.
That's very cool.
The light exposure, we all know the benefits of being out in the light and, you know, 20 minutes of sunlight a day, just getting it on the skin, you know, regardless of whether it's in your eyes, whether it's winter, whether it's any other season, particularly nowadays because we spend so much time looking at false light
screens,
and being in false light and screens and so on, you know? And then the obviously the last one is grounding. Now, grounding was the last one that I came to because I was like, oh, I don't want to hug a tree, take the shoes off and walk along the air. But there's actually a phenomenal amount of evidence with regards to how the body discharges through through the skin, through the cells and into the ground or into nature and how that positive loop is reinforced by the ground, you know, magnetic energy and so on. It actually brings positive ions back up into the system and then how that regulates the whole system as well.
I don't know the science behind it or anything, but it's just funny that I've always felt that. Like I always like just like walking outside in my bare feet and standing on the grass. I've always liked that. Always liked it.
But you and that's a very
and
good
I do it
point.
A fair bit.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's a, bit, it's a very good point though. Yeah. Like, I was talking to a guy about it the other day, and he's like, "But I haven't. I'm not close to anywhere. Like I lived in a unit or something." I meant, mate, all you need is like, you know, 2 foot by 2 foot piece of grass to be able to go and stick your feet on, you know.
So true,
and if you're really struggling, you can grab a plant or something like that as well, because there's a natural component to it as well. Yeah. It's better if you can get your shoes and socks off. It's better if you can get your feet in the sand or the water or onto the grass.
Yeah.
But you can go on a you can be on a bushwalk and so on and still get that same benefit from it as well.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, as you know, Dan, you're a perfect example because you haven't got shoes on, but I have, and I've got insulated soles on. And we spend most of our time in insulated soles. You know, so
I hate shoes.
Yeah, good Aussie boy, man. But then, if you've got fundamentals in place, elementals we work on, get them in place as well. I guarantee you, you'll be feeling so much better.
Yeah.
If you go and get your blood work done and everything else as well, you'll see the internal benefits of it.
We should, and it's bad timing because you've got a small child.
More than ever, I need to be doing some of these things.
We should do a challenge, Tim. We should go get like blood's done. We should check all of our like blood pressure and all these things as
a
base.
Bad idea. Yeah.
And then we do this for like 8 weeks and we really try hard at it.
I like it.
And then at the end, we test it all again and see if anything's changed.
Get proper tests done. Go and get DEXA scans done.
Yeah.
We can get down at the body scan.
There's a scanning joint on the coast.
They'll be able to scan the body and then look at the body composition as well. Doctors will be able to do the full blood work, full blood test and everything that's in place. Get some scans done, you know, everything. Get it done.
So what I'm hearing, Tim, is
I'm keen.
Go all out, just like bad food, poor sleep, until we get those scans done and then we have to go.
Well,
so
that's
get
what
yourself
I was doing
in January. Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm already there, Dan. It's fine.
Well, I think this is a great place to stop this topic because I think we've talked about actions, we've talked about the why, we've talked about the how, and
there's a lot of tools there.
There's a lot of tools there.
There's a lot of tools there. We
not just Tim.
Very, very briefly on the last. Yeah, back to the tools again.
Oh my God.
Let's go full circle. The last bit is obviously people come out of alignment, right? So people do flick back into old habits. Yeah. People do flick back into those old tendencies and those ways of operating. So you have to have, I can't believe I'm going to say this, you have to have a toolkit. You've got to have a toolkit of things that you can utilize for when you feel it, you come out of alignment to get back into it, right? And that's important because these are great, but you need them in the background.
That's what I need right now.
And that takes awareness too.
Yep.
So just that check-in.
Yes.
Which the breathing is obviously very good for.
But so just using me as an example right now, I know that I've gone back and I've fallen into a bunch of bad habits and I'm trying to pull myself back out and restart doing the breathing, the mindfulness and the walks and all those things. But it's hard because sometimes you know you're doing it, but you just can't get yourself there to pull it back out.
Hard to see the tree in the forest.
Not even just that. It's just like, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but screw it.
Yeah.
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 I sort of just don't care.
Yeah. Like I just, yeah, it's fine. I'm just going to eat poorly today.
Mm. I think as those, the awareness grows though, and you're feeling the benefit of a lot of the other things as well, you really do become hyper aware of the difference between, and then you can start to go, okay, well, where's this coming from? Is this taking me to where I want to go, or is it taking me from away from where I want to go?
Yeah. And then I suppose you shouldn't, you should also just not beat yourself up.
Well, that's it. You're probably beating yourself up a bit there, really. Absolutely. Yeah.
The
nice awareness, Dan. Thank you.
You know, you said about kindness before, about being kind to yourself. The biggest hindrance and stopper that pulls people back is them being mean to themselves.
Yes. Right? Mm.
And it's always about what they did in the past. Mm. Right. And this is going to sound very, very harsh, right? Mm. Can we swear?
Yes, please.
I don't give a fuck about where you've been. I only care about where you're going.
That's so true.
You know? Yeah. So let's stop beating ourselves up with a baseball bat. Yeah. Let's put it where it belongs in the locker. Forget about it and let's move forward.
So true.
Right?
You know? True.
Yeah. So my brain must often be telling me like, fuck you, Dan. What have you done? Eat this Jersey caramel.
Yeah.
The cookie.
Yeah, I think I get disappointment when I'm like the end of a day, I haven't moved or like eaten so well, and I'm just like, oh, just wasting my time. That's sort of what I feel like sometimes. I know that I have a limited time on this planet, and I don't want to waste that. Mm. And then I get to the end of a day, and I'm like, you've just wasted that whole day. Yeah. Good on you, mate.
But then that just puts you in a bad spiral again.
Bad sleep.
So you just have to think, all right, you know what? Yeah. Tomorrow's a new day. It's fine.
That's it. Do your breathing.
I think when you're starting out with things as well, like we talk about it as a path of, I used to be like, but tiny bit of a backstory. I used to be the path of most resistance guy, right? I used to be like the hardest fucking exercise, the hardest regime. Okay. I do not care about your excuses. Let's go. Stop fucking, you know, messing around. Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah.
What I've learned more, particularly over the last 4 to 5 years, is that there is a very rare 5% of people who will actually do that. And normally when they do, they're not self-accepted of themselves.
Yes.
So I used to work
kind of beating themselves up through that.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work with bodybuilders, figure models, athletes, and everything on a one-to-one basis. Mm. Most of them, when they achieve what they thought that they needed to in order to be in a certain state, when they got there, the rug was drawn out from under the feet because it was like, I'm here. This is not what I thought it was going to be like. Yeah. And they either drop off completely or they look to the next thing and make it bigger and tougher and think there's going to be. What I've realized much more is path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Because people, much more people will be able to walk that. And when you start to get momentum moving forward, it takes care of itself.
Yeah, right? Slowly build. So, and you'll eventually be doing the hard stuff anyway, but you'll be doing it easily.
But it's also, I think, trying to enjoy the journey, not the result. If it's these behaviors that make me feel good, then I'm just going to end up in that result. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to enjoy what I'm doing and how I feel and how I live, not trying to get some end result apart from feeling good.
And you know, that's what your body, that's what your body and your brain responds to. The end result of everything is an emotional feel, right? So if you meet with friends, if you have a good conversation, if you're having an intimate moment with your partner, right? Okay. Like it's the
what's that?
I agree.
Yeah.
But it's the emotion that you're after at the end of it. It's the feeling that you're after at the end of it. So you can actually, in your meditation process or your breathing process, you can start to, it's a process called envisioning, where you're emotionally visioning a lot of these things and you can feel the emotion now. Right? And your cells do not know the difference between something that is in the future or something that's happening
now. We're tricking them.
So you can hack them.
Oh,
you
can hack them. I love hacks.
And then the value of the journey becomes even more because you're like, I'm enjoying every step of this. I don't need to get over there to feel so this way. Good. I can join it on every single step along
the
way.
Simple.
Yep.
But imagine if you could just hack everything to seem so enjoyable and great. But that is so doable. You can do it right now.
You can do it right now.
You can do it right now. The only thing stopping you doing that is you.
What's really annoying is we all know this and we're not doing it. Let's take these tools. Let's take these tips. Thanks so much, Jay, for coming on and talking us through this. Hold on. There we go. Let's move on to our other things.
Cool.
Any recommendations?
Yep.
I've got one quick one. I've finally started watching the last 2 seasons of Curb.
Oh, yes. And what is that on now? I've been wanting to watch it. It's on Binge.
It's on Binge.
Oh, cool.
And damn, it is funny.
Okay.
I was laughing. I was sitting in that couch last night, just laughing my ass off.
Nice. It's such a great show. I love it.
So love good. It.
I was just going to say quickly, so you used to work with bodybuilders, Jay, as well? Is that but you still do. This guy right here. I just turned to the camera and I'm doing a small flex.
Everyone's a bodybuilder.
I'm building this body up. You don't have a body and you're building it.
My thing this week is The Letdown, and it's a show on Stan, Netflix, one of those ones. And it's like new parents. It's very, very funny if like you've got kids.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
It's things I wouldn't have found funny 4 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's just hilarious. Like, it is so funny. It's just like a husband and wife and this kid that's growing to be one, and their friends and their family and their interactions in the community. It's just so hilarious. I'm loving it.
It just doesn't sound relevant for me.
A great, like, it's a great play on words. The Letdown is a thing to do with breastfeeding. So
yeah, okay.
I quite enjoy the title of the show as well.
Classic.
There you go. Oh, what are we? We've just gone through every season of Stranger Things again.
Oh, yes. It's
good.
From the beginning.
I really like Stranger Things.
I must admit, like, there's things that Alex wanted to watch it, you know, and you're like, okay, I'll put it on again, thinking, but I've seen all this.
Mm.
And then I went back through it and I was like, oh, I didn't link that with that. No, okay, I missed that beforehand.
There's a bit more happening.
They've done such a good job of, like, expanding the story and linking it all the way through. So apparently the last season's coming in May.
Oh, there's another season.
Yeah, season 5. One more.
Oh, cool.
He said the arc of it was going to be 5 seasons apparently, and this is going to be the last one.
Oh,
like,
that's
exciting. So,
cool.
Yeah. So that's where my viewing's been for the last month. Every night. I think she was shocked as well because she was like, she's so used to, you know what Netflix is like. Yeah. She's so used to being able to watch season 1 and then next one season 2.
Yeah,
and then the horror in her face when she realized it was like, oh my God, I've got to wait 4 or 5 months until I can watch the next season. What am I going to do?
It's so frustrating.
Have
you watched Ted Lasso, Jay?
Yes.
That's my favorite show of all time, I think.
New season coming out in a month.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
15th of March.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it relates to what we talked about today. That's why I thought it was relevant.
Positivity.
It's like belief.
Mindset.
Yeah. So
I, you know, when you watch the first couple, I'm thinking, no. And then as it goes on, I was like, this is funny. It's what I thought it was going to be, but it's actually not what I thought it was going to be as well. You know,
exactly.
But it's been so successful, hasn't it? It's all over the world now. Yeah,
I think people needed that sort of good feel
right in that moment. It just caught the right moment for me.
Yeah,
and I was this is great. Yeah, I love this.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the one season and one night once when I think I was babysitting for a friend, and I was just and you just go, okay, next one.
It is like that. Great show. Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Extra long podcast today, hour 6.
Ooh, that's good.
Nice. Yeah. Well, love yourself, everybody. We'll be back next week with our final episode of Love February, Love Your Business February, and it's a book nugget.
Yeah,
Start with why.
Have you started reading, Dan?
I have.
Cool.
Yeah, it's all about loving why you do what you do.
Yeah.
So that's our last week's last topic. We're toying with a theme for March, by the way.
We are. We've got some ideas.
We're toying with a theme for that. So we'll announce that if we decide to go ahead.
There may be some alliteration involved.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. We might do this every month. But thank you for listening, everybody. If you want to find us, Two Drunk Accountants on all the socials, twodrunkpodcast@gmail.com, twodrunkaccountants.com.au. Jay, where can they find you?
Bulletproofleader.com.au. I think that's the best place for it, centralized, and then everything else is linked to that.
Follow you on the social medias and stuff like that too.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.